America's biggest Labor Day party is back with the loudest lineup yet. This August 30th through September 1st in Pryor, Oklahoma, with, for the first time ever, Avenged Sevenfold, Slipknot, Disturbed, Evanescence, plus A Day to Remember, Lamb of God, Hailstorm, Mastodon, Anthrax, Skillet, Clutch, Nothing More, Kerry King Band, Cold Chamber, Bad Flower, Pop Evil, and many more. Passes and camping on sale now at rocklahoma.com starting at $10 down. Don't miss the best camping and the biggest rock party. Rocklahoma, life, liberty, and the pursuit of rock.
What's up, everybody? It's John Bush from Armored Saints sitting here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You are on the road to rock.
Hi, everyone. This is Eric Martin, the lead singer for the band Mr. Big, and you are on the road to rock with Clint Switzer.
Thank you so much, man. I love talking about the things that I love, Clint, and for you to allow me to do it with you. God bless you. God bless the Heartland. God bless America.
You are now on the road to rock. It's not just a podcast. It's an unabashed celebration of rock's living legends. And now, please welcome your host, the master of your rock and roll road trip, Clint Switzer.
Welcome, one and all. Wherever you are watching here, we are live, a special live show here from us at Starcade Media, Starcade Stories Podcast. If you're watching on TikTok, welcome in. We're going to be talking to actor, producer, musician, Thomas Ian Nicholas. You know him from such films as Rookie of the Year, American Pie, and now his band, Thomas Nicholas Band, is going to be here in Kansas City at the Rhino in North Kansas City on Sunday, Mother's Day. So Thomas Ian Nicholas, someone from our past, from our childhoods, that is now, a big time musician that's touring the world and going to be here in Kansas City. So we are anxiously anticipating Thomas joining us.
Yes, we are. It's in St. Louis on May 11th. And then, like you said, here in Kansas City, May 12th. And I think we have the man.
Well, yeah. And just there he is, Thomas Ian Nicholas. Welcome to the show, man. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We gave you the big fancy intro already. So we didn't want to have to lay that on you again. But we from such films as A Kid in King Arthur's Court. Dude, you're going to be here in Kansas City. How fortuitous is this? You're going to be in KC, Thomas Nicholas Band, here on Sunday, Mother's Day, at the Rhino in North Kansas City, man.
Yeah, man. I'm hoping this time I can make it over to see Laugh-O-Gram.
Yeah, you got to get there and get to the Chapels Sports Bar. If you like sports at all, Chapels is right down the street. It's one of the best sports bars in the nation.
Well, I'm not much of a sports guy outside of, Henry, Roro, Gardner. But
How did you do that?
Last time, there was an echo. It's just StreamYard. Don't worry about it. The last time I was there, I played a private event in Topeka, and I wanted to get over to Laugh-O-Gram because obviously I played Walt Disney and Walt Before Mickey, and I heard they made the original building into a museum. So I really, really hope I get to see it this time.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And you've just been everywhere. The Thomas Nicholas Band has been, you've been overseas, you've been in Ireland and Europe, and you've just been really off on a whirlwind. So just talk about what that's been like, all the touring and all the shows. I mean, great crowds. You've been playing with some amazing bands, and it just seems like it's been quite a couple months for you, quite a busy couple months.
Yeah, it's been wild. Well, I'm trying to, support my new album that's coming out on May 17th. The album is entitled We're Gonna Be Okay. Oh, look at that.
Got
you covered, man.
The title track is featuring Bowling for Soup. So I wrote the song with Jarrett and Gary and Rob, and Jarrett came in and busted out the track for me. There's other great features on the record, including Less Than Jake, Aaron Jones, The Early November. And I wrote one of the songs with my best friend, Matt Kennedy, who was one of the founding members of The Graduate. He was in The Dangerous Summer for 7 years, and he will be playing bass for me at this show on Sunday.
Amazing. And here's the list of tour dates, and they change all the time. You're adding dates, and you're going to be here with Punk Rock Factory, and you've played shows with bands like Weedish. You've been all over the place. Like, what is it like playing with some of these bands and just kind of the camaraderie? Has it been there? What's it been like? And is there anybody that you're like, man, I could never go out and do a show with them again? Not to name any names.
No, it's been really good. I mean, obviously, I grew up with all this music, you know, with my own collection. So I feel like I'm getting to play. It's just wild. I mean, I guess there's a part of me that feels like, wait a second. And I don't mean to age myself, but I remember probably about 2 years ago, I was grocery shopping and I was picking out apples and I started like rocking out to Nirvana. I was like, wait, this is weird. Why is Nirvana playing on the grocery store speakers? It should be like, you know, the Doobie Brothers or right. Led Zeppelin. It should
Kenny
be
G,
classic rock.
Now.
And now I'm like, oh man, we're the new classic rock.
It's true.
Because we now have kids and we're old.
We're all in the same age group here. As you can see, we kind of thrive off nostalgia here. And I just love this album, the look of it and the sound. I mean, I got to be honest, like as a nostalgic person and someone that loves to just like, I don't know, you know, you're in Rookie of the Year, which is a huge movie for both of us growing up. But like the song on the new album, Same Kids, is my favorite song in the album. And it really like, it's kind of sums up exactly what you're talking about. It's just like, we're still the same kids. It's just now we're 40 and over. Noah's going to get there in a little 6 months or so, but it's just, it keeps you in that realm. Right. And it just really, I don't know. It's a good mood setter and it's my favorite song in the album. I got to be honest.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you for that. Yeah. That song is super, super nostalgia. Nostalgia turned up to 11.
Yeah. We never kind of left. I mean, you know, we're kind of 80s, 90s people. Like, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, right? Just sort of living in the past. We'll grow up one of these days, I promise.
No, man. There's no reason to grow up. Why would we grow up?
Well, I also love your new single, The Wrong Side, like you talked about, featuring the early November. Love that. And of course, I've got a top three here of my favorite Thomas Nicholas Band songs, and it's The Wrong Side, like Clint said, Same Kids, and then Better Than Home rounds out my top three. Another great song.
Awesome. Yeah, we actually launched our Vevo channel with a music video for Better Than Home.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I shot in one of my hometowns of Santa Cruz in Capitola, and I'm actually editing together a music video for Same Kids right now. It was supposed to come out first, but it has literally taken me so long. No joke. I've been pulling footage off of this thing from like.
Talk about nostalgia.
Oh yeah. So I've got all these tapes, you know, that I've been going through, and it's just taken forever. Cause you know, it's not like an iPhone where you just skip to the next video and go, oh, that's that one. This is like, you got to go through the whole damn tape.
Yeah, that's that. And the video that you're referencing, I thought, which is Tomorrow's Gonna Hurt. There's a video for that as well. And like that one, it was a perfect like melding of like the live stuff with, you know, kind of other elements. And like you had some stuff from like The Hangover and like
well,
that just
I AI'd, perfect. I AI'd my face over Ed Helms and That's Taylor thought, Carroll. Yeah. Taylor Carroll, who's the drummer from Lit, produced the album. So he goes, I want to be Zach Galifianakis. I go, done. So I've AI'd his face over Zach.
Maybe you just like reshot it somehow with like you guys doing it. Oh, it's that good of AI. So I guess, I mean, are we going to, AI might just be our future. We may not need traditional music video shoots. This is great. This could really help music.
Well, I wasn't allowed to put it on my Vevo channel because apparently they don't allow AI on Vevo.
Oh, you know, they'll come around.
Exactly.
Well, like very excited about Sunday. You're going to also be in St. Louis coming up here as well. So anywhere in the area, this is kind of the poster for it. Thomas Nicholas Band here at the Rhino. It's like 7 minutes from my house. So perfect. I you know, as I've gotten older, I go see a lot of the same bands and I'm like big into older bands. So they're dropping by the day, by the way. And convenience is big for me for a concert. You know what I mean? Like convenience is just like, oh, that's right down here. It's not downtown Kansas City. That's another 4 minutes down past the bridge, Thomas.
Traffic.
This is like in North Kansas City where I live. Like, I can do that on a Sunday night.
There you go.
Do you go through the same thing, or is it like you're just still, hey, whatever's good?
I mean, what is it? Neil Bargatze is like, he's got this great thing. Like, you know, when you're in your 20s, you're like, I'll go out anywhere, any night of the week. And when you're in your 30s, you're like, is there parking? I'll take my own car. Like, what time does it start? And then in your 40s, you're just like, yeah, I'm not going. So, it pretty much sums it up. For me, I mean, I play in the band. So pretty much the only time I'm going out is if I'm playing a show. So I'm just going to work, if you can call it work.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned Nirvana, hearing that in a grocery store. What were some other sort of inspirations for your music as you come up to find your own voice and sound?
I mean, I've got a lot of inspirations from the 90s. I mean, obviously, I grew up in the grunge era at my formative years. Started playing guitar in 94. So all of my first favorite bands were all part of that scene. Nirvana, Green Day, Weezer, Spin Doctors, you know, even Blues Traveler. And then, you know, later, obviously, I followed the Foo Fighters, so that's a big influence. John Mayer, Switchfoot has been a big, big influence on me. I just did the Rock Boat and got to finally reveal to John Foreman that I've essentially copied his band's sound since 1996. And so, you know, no lawsuits are forthcoming.
No cease and desist.
I got too many years behind it. We can't travel back in time. I can't take it back. The new record, you know, we really went for this kind of throwback pop punk, you know, early aughts vibe like you would find in American Pie soundtracks, but with this like modern sound as well. So it's kind of this sort of mixture of, you know, nostalgia and modern. And Taylor just, you know, really kind of pushed me forward, and everyone that I was collabing with got me just more willing to write more personal things, which I've never really done. I've kind of always kept a distance from what I was really talking about. I've always kind of like, masked that and kind of like written the lyrics like, here's an idea, it's a loose idea, you won't really get to know me. And now you can get to know me if you listen to the lyrics, and it's kind of scary, but I feel, you know, sort of a necessary step in my songwriting journey.
Yeah. And life experience is such a big part of that. And I think that, you know, the older we get, we do at least have that going for us. May not have the hairline I used to, covered up now by this pink hat.
I needed that.
We talk about nostalgia, and I just got to like go back here to this graphic here, because I want to know what happened to this era, the early 90s, and the kids' sports movies that we had, and these moments, and these they just stand out. And I mean, I saw every one of them. I cherished every one of them. And I learned we grew up here in the Midwest, don't have a lot of hockey. Well, guess what? I learned all about it thanks to the Mighty Ducks. And, you know, we finally got a great one in Little Giants, a kids football movie, and we had all the baseball, Sandlot, Angels in the Outfield, Rookie of the Year, Little Big League with your buddy Luke Edwards. We'll talk about him a little bit. But man, what happened to this era?
I mean, I don't know what to tell you. It was this crazy sort of time capsule era where we did have a ton of sports movies with kids, and there was obviously things later on, you know, like Mike came out, you know, probably 15 years post haste. Yeah. We really just didn't have that. And I can't answer why. I think we all kind of gravitated toward teen sex comedies, maybe.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, Busted. You're welcome.
Yeah, I mean, talk a little bit about kind of all those baseball movies that kind of came out in the same time frame, 93, 94, Sandlot and Rookie of the Year, 93, and then Little Big League, Angels in the Outfield, 94. So kind of you and Sandlot there kind of started something there that people were like, hey, maybe we have something here, and maybe we can give Luke Edwards a job.
And this was like a similar premise, so it was kind of like a rival film almost.
I mean, to a degree, I think Luke's film, obviously, you know, in Little Big League, the character is thrust into more of an adult world versus, you know, Henry is kind of living out every kid's fantasy of of playing in a major league, you know, baseball team, but getting to do it at the age of 12. And I mean, there are some dramatic moments, but Rookie of the Year is by and large more fantastical, whereas, you know, Little Big League is a little bit more, you know, dramatic and kind of stressful for the kid, you know, being in charge of the team. Poor Luke.
Yeah. Luke was on our show talking about The Wizard, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. Hey, you, and I can't remember. He told us it's been a couple of years. You guys, did you guys go to school together? You guys had something in common that you guys.
Oh, no, we didn't go to school together, but we met the first time presenting an award at like a kid's, you know, award show. It might have been like the kids teen choice award. I don't know what it was. So we presented together, but what we talked about and joked about when we ended up working together on some of my films in recent years, like Adverse, yeah, and on my new TV show Underdeveloped that you can watch now on Tubi and Amazon. We both got the same reverse experience, which was people would mix up all those movies. So someone would come up to me and they're like, "Oh man, I loved you in Little Big League," or they go up to Luke and they'd be like, "You were awesome in Rookie of the Year." And it happened so often that we just stopped correcting people. So like at first you'd be like, "Oh, you mean this movie?" And then they would seem embarrassed or feel like, you know, like they'd made a mistake. So I stopped wanting to make people feel bad for getting the movie wrong. So they'd just be like, "I loved you in Little Big League." I'm like, "Thanks. That's very nice of you."
Then you take a photo and they post it and they're like, "What? That's the kid from Rookie of the Year." They're like, "Oh,
yeah." Yeah, but let them feel embarrassed.
The embarrassment.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then to make full circle, Luke should have been an American Pie. There's no question in my mind. How did that not get connected?
Well, he has a small part in American Pie too.
Right.
He's in the,
that's
in
right.
the party scene, which honestly, we were doing an interview similar to this and I brought him into the interview. And then he talked about that and I forgot. And I don't even remember.
You're like, "Oh, yeah."
I was like, "Oh, you were in American Pie too?" Yeah. So, he was apparently there.
We got to get all these. Yeah, go ahead.
Great shots and moments. Gary Busey, Daniel Stern, who directed that, acted in it. And of course, Tom Milanovich, John Candy, who we lost. And then here you are throwing out a first pitch with your mom in the movie, Amy Morton.
Did that for the 25th anniversary. We went to Wrigley. Amy's obviously a Chicago native and she's on Chicago PD, I believe. So she didn't want to throw out the first pitch, but they had asked her and she, of course, you know, wanted to be there. She just didn't want to physically, you know, throw out the first pitch. So I concocted this idea that we reenact the float it scene and she loved it. The Cubs loved it. So it was on YouTube for a minute. I don't think it is anymore, but I did like the whole bit, like walk to the mound, like, "Oh, my arm," you know, shook off the pitch and like pulled open the mitt, saw her name, look up. And then they had this like, you know, shot on the big screen of Amy Morton. And we did like the whole thing. She came and brought me the baseball and told me to float it. I threw a perfect strike with the floater.
There you go. That's the key. Take note. That's awesome. Like stuff like that. Just like, it just like lights up my nostalgic soul, man.
We just had Daniel Stern on.
We did.
Yeah.
We just had Daniel Stern on and he was talking about how, and this was very poignant. He has a book coming out and, that interview is going to be airing here in a couple weeks. The book comes out in a couple weeks. He was talking about how he feels like his role, one thing that he took a huge, you know, level of importance of is influencing kids in a positive way. So like working with him, did you get that sense that he was, you know, really wanting to like make this experience the best it possibly could be for you? And did he kind of like mentor you in any way?
I mean, one of the things that people are surprised to hear is that Danny in real life is very, you know, grounded and, you know, very humble and very real versus the characters that we know him for the most are outlandish and zany and, you know, not intelligible. And so Danny is vastly the opposite. So yeah, I had an amazing time working with him. And I recently reconnected with him probably about 4 or 5 years ago. And oddly enough, his son, Henry, is a senator here in California.
Yeah, that's right.
And when my son, who's following in my footsteps, booked the movie Old, the M. Night movie, back in 2020, we had an issue because of lockdown with him needing to get a passport, but there was no way to like get it in time because of, you know, COVID. So I emailed Danny and I was like, hey, I don't mean to pull this like favor card with your son, but I know he's a senator, like, can he help? And then he kind of, Henry sort of hipped me to this whole thing that you don't really think about this, but we all have senators that manage our districts and they're there to help us like accomplish things like that.
I didn't know. Yeah. Didn't know what that was.
To be in my 40s to like realize this information. And so he's like, what district are you in? I'm like, I don't even know. So I looked it up and he's like, he like introduced me to the senator of my district who helped my son get his passport. But that all happened because of, you know, Danny and Henry. And then I remember the production reached out to me and they were having trouble with some of the other employees, like getting their passports right for the shoot. And I go, tell them to contact their local senators. And then they all got it worked out.
Wow.
Let me have this be a political lesson to you. In fact, just a life lesson to you. If you're having some problems in like a governmental sense, your local senator can help you. Like you got some issues with your property tax, hit up your local senator's office. They're there to help the people of their district.
Yeah.
This was brought to you by Thomas Ian Nicholas and the Thomas Nicholas Band.
I probably would have called our local sanitation department before trying that, but now I know. That is exciting.
Your son is acting. He was in Old with M. Night. He was in an episode of New Girl. He was also underdeveloped your show and Adverse, your recent film. So talk about him following in your footsteps and how it's going so far.
It's amazing. I mean, he's a super talented kid. And, you know, he's definitely, I think, you know, in a lot of respects, a little bit more talented than myself. Just because he kind of marches to the beat of his own drum, meaning like I was definitely more like, you know, moving in any direction that anyone wanted me to when it came to, you know, my talents in acting and music. And he's very much like, no, this is the way that I'm doing it and here's why. And, you know, he does take direction, but he definitely just kind of knows himself a little bit more, which I fully support him moving in those ways. And he's going to be performing today at school, playing piano and singing Phantom of the Opera. He's like, awesome. I got home from tour and he was playing like the Interstellar theme, the Hans Zimmer, music on piano. Like he's incredible.
It is incredible. You can do that. And what have you learned? You're still on this acting journey as well as with your band, and you were in Adverse with Lou Diamond Phillips and Mickey Rourke and Sean Astin. I mean, talk about kind of what you've learned, who's taught you along the way, if it was in that film as recent as that was, or just kind of along your journey earlier on in the process, and kind of who's helped you or mentored you in the acting journey that you're still on.
Well, I think that when you work with people on a film set, you know, you can't help but be influenced by them, especially if you see how talented they are. I mean, the late, great John Hurd, when I worked with him on Living Among Us, it was his last film. I remember there was one day where, and this just speaks so highly of his, you know, innate talent. There was one day where his team told him the wrong day, but he only lived like 5 minutes from the set, which I knew like kind of what area he was in. So, you know, it's like maybe like an hour late to work. And I'm like, no big deal. Like, you know, we got set up to do about an hour and a half. I text John. I go, hey, John, like, just making sure everything's okay. You're all right. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll see you tomorrow. I'm like, no. You're working today. So he goes, oh, shoot, I'm so sorry. Gets to set. Like, minute he arrives, right into the works. Comes down. He's like, what scene are we shooting? And I'm like, all right, we'll get some note cards for you. Put up note cards. He nails the interview scene. It's his best part of like that performance in the movie. And it was like off the cuff.
Wow.
That's just, you know, So when you get to work with talented people that are just so good right out of the gate, you know, just like wear their talent on their sleeve, you pay attention and you learn from that. And I try to spend as much time with him on set as possible, just hoping for some osmosis.
Thomas, sorry, I lost you guys there. I got totally kicked out, and you guys did fine.
I did that. I wanted to take over.
I almost didn't come back.
Better you than me.
Right. Well, Thomas, we got to talk about this because the American Pie films, at the time they came out, it was like a symbiotic situation for us. It like completely mirrored exactly where we were in high school, in life. It's almost unbelievable. And I'm sure you get this a lot from people that say like, yeah, whenever you guys were going to prom, that was the year I went to prom. When you guys were coming home from your first year of college, that's when I was coming home from my first year of college. And it's just like, it lined up so perfectly. I believe those films are the John Hughes movies of the late 90s, early 2000s. And in fact, American Pie 2 is a top 10 movie of all time for me. I don't know what it is about it, but just that summer setting, the last summer before you guys, life changes. And there's so many poignant things. And Kevin Myers always seemed to have the arc that kind of got the gang to the next step. And I always love that about your character and just the whole idea in the universe in general, man. It just worked for so many reasons for so many people.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Yeah, I've come to realize, especially in getting to do some like fan events, like Comic Cons, and meeting the people, that have enjoyed my work, that I have kind of grown up with the people that are obviously films are made for all ages, of course. Anyone from any age can enjoy it. But, not to sound like a marketer, but like the target audience has always been my peers. So in essence, inadvertently, I've grown up with the audience of my work. And so when I get to meet people in person, it's kind of like this feeling of, that they get where they're getting to meet like a long lost friend that they've grown up with that they haven't seen or ever met in person. But I love that. I love that feeling that people see me as familiar, as like someone that they can just like call a friend instantaneously. And I think that's amazing. And I'm so happy when I get to meet people that feel that way when they meet me, because it certainly beats the opposite.
Because you you're our age. You grew up, you probably grew up watching like The Breakfast Club and 16 Candles. Did you feel like that, especially American Pie 1, that sort of was the 90s version of that?
I didn't think about it at the time. I knew that it was well received. I knew that people were into it, and it had like it was enjoyed, and that's mainly the thing for me. Like I make music and I make films and I make television shows and all that stuff for entertainment. And I love to entertain people. I think entertainment is the safest form of escape, outside of binge watching all four seasons of Stranger Things. There's really no hangover, although you would probably be, maybe a headache, maybe your eyes would be sore, but it's not really the same thing as a hangover. Yeah. There's no hangover from entertainment, really.
Yeah, and we've had an American Pie reunion. Is there any sort of reincarnation for American Pie in the works?
We need a 40s version of this. We're all 40 now. Let's just live in it.
I agree with you. I think we do need a new version. I think that fans of the franchise are really hopeful. There's been rumors about an American Pie 5 for literally 12 years. And I'll be honest, I was a part of some of the false information. I thought for about 8 years there was some sort of script at Universal like collecting dust, and I was just waiting for some executive to pull it off the shelf and be like, guys, it's time. I've come to find out that there is in fact not a script, but in all of the, there have been some talks about it. There's been even like preliminary negotiations that didn't come to terms, unfortunately, in 2021. So I did find out, though, that all of my friends, and so, yes, I do still keep in touch with my friends from the movie. We're all down for it. So I don't know what it's going to take for Universal to, come to the table in a way where they actually like Steve Martin said at Bowfinger, we got to go picture. I don't know what it's going to take for that moment. But I know that as the cast, we're all down to reprise our roles. And I think it'd be a lot of fun. It'd be a lot of fun to hang out with my friends again.
Well, absolutely have to have it happen again. Our lives just kind of mirror each other's. We could be that friend that we call and just hang out one last time. Let's do it. And let's do it this Sunday. Guys, once again, want to make sure those in the Kansas City area that are watching and listening that here on Sunday, May 12th, Mother's Day, bring your mom. And it may not be the same after that. But yes, yeah, stick to the covers. This is Punk Rock Factory, Thomas Nicholas Band opening. And again, the new album, which I can't wait for. It is coming up here on May 17th. We're going to be okay. We're going to be okay, damn it, because this has been such a pleasure. I got to tell you that to really harken you back to that late 90s, early 2000s pop punk, putting it right in there. And sometimes when you have actors that, you know, are musicians and that do this, it can go both ways. I love David Duchovny, had him on this show. I didn't love what was happening musically, Thomas. I didn't. I'm just being honest.
Corey Feldman.
I don't know. I'm still. He is the comeback king, but not just to say this, and I'm not just saying this, but that. I mean,
you're not a fan of Kevin Costner's band.
I would check that out, and I am a fan of Billy Bob Thornton's band. The Boxmasters aren't bad. The Bacon Brothers aren't bad.
Eddie Murphy.
There's a pretty negative nomenclature when it comes to actors turn musicians versus somehow or another musicians can become actors and everyone loves them. There's no problem when they just play themselves, you know, for years on television or in any film and just cameo as themselves. I get this nomenclature. And I really, the only thing I can say is I'm very thankful for it. Do you know why? Because all I have to do is not suck and you're going to think I'm amazing.
And you do not.
Like you said, same kids, better than home, wrong side. All of it is great stuff. We all suggest that you go listen to it. And has anyone ever asked you to reprise your Diet Pepsi jingle on stage?
I got someone yelling for that at a show recently, but, you know, I don't play piano. It's a funny story with that, too, because
your son can play piano while you sing.
Exactly. That's actually funny. If my son ever joins my band, we will do that as a bit. I remember when we shot the scene, I sang it in key. And when we got into post-production, Danny Stern was like, hey, listen, I need you to sing this out of key because it'll be funnier if you sing it poorly. So I had to like dub my own vocals to like put it out of key, which was hard to do. And he was right, though. From a comedic standpoint, it was funnier. But I remember at the time I was like, I can do this. I can nail this. And no one really said anything at the moment. But I'm also doing a show on Saturday at Tin Roof in St. Louis, which you did mention earlier. That's not, of course, with Punk Rock Factory.
Right.
But yeah, I'm excited to come to Kansas City, especially because of my ties to Kansas
yes.
City from playing Walt Disney himself. Yes. How far is Laugh-O-Gram from the Rhino?
Okay, that's not – you know what? I'm trying to see because – It's within 25 minutes, you know, and not like LA 25 minutes, with like Missouri 25 minutes.
Well, that's much closer than Topeka, because last time, like, I landed in the airport and like drove like an hour 15 to Topeka, and I was like, I can't get back to Laugh-O-Gram. It was like 2 hours.
Yeah. I'm trying to get the exact, like, real quick, because it's 31st Street, I want to say. So
it should be, yeah.
It's not. It's not going to be much. It's going to be within about 10 miles, I think.
Perfect. Okay. I have to see it this time.
It has to happen. Thomas, you're the best, man. This has been so much fun. So excited about the new album. We talked about some of our favorite songs from it, but it's out May 17th next week. Go to the show. Check out the new album. Thomas, you're the best, man. We'll catch up again soon. We'll see you Sunday, my brother.
Noah, thank you guys so much for having me on.
Thank you so much. Love it. Oh,
he's going to bring that. You better have a marker ready. He's going to have to sign that.
I'll sign it. Henry Roman Gaga.
No, just say in quotation marks, float it. That's it. All we need. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Such an honor.